Hi, I'm Nick Kane.
And I'm Lauren Bailey.
And this is The Act of Storytelling.
And a fresh release in a mini suite of podcasts talking to creatives who are getting things done.
Today's guest is a creative innovator, Shash Lal. Ready for some questions, Shash?
Yes, please.
Shash is a diverse and contemporary producer, writer, actor, and filmmaker who works between the UK and Australia. And indeed the world digitally, as you'll soon hear.
Which is what we'll focus on today, but first, we wanted to know a little bit about the cool stuff Shash has been up to.
The cool stuff. I started my company Colourful Cocktail it's all in the name. It's all in the name, people.
And in the logo. Have you done the logo?
Yes, it's on the Colourful Cocktail website, colourfulcocktail.com. It's a neon cocktail full of different layered colours, designed by my wonderful friend Ian Sargent. Yeah, so Colourful Cocktail is all about mixing together different ingredients of different styles and colours and energies and genres, and it coming out to a very tasty end product that everyone can enjoy consuming. Glad that I did so, because we use that as well to house a proof of concept that we shot for a television show of mine that I created called Aerolina. And we shot that proof of concept across four different countries, England, Australia, America, and Canada. And with 48 different actors and two producers, a wonderful director called Alistair Marks of the Marx Brothers. In fact, his brother Nick of the Marx Brothers was the composer on the piece as well. We shot and edited that digitally online and used it as part of the pitch package.
It's fair to say, Nick, this idea had us pretty intrigued. An innovative, fully digital approach to a proof of concept called Aerolina. We asked Shash to take us through where the inspiration for the project came from.
It was created in full global lockdown. It was created at the stage where everybody was in lockdown. And we started the process. I was in London when we did the shoot aspect of it, and I was in Melbourne when we did an initial read. So how it started was that I did cross global. So it was England and Australia doing the read of the pilot episode, just the live read, just to see how it sounded. There were some producers and the like on board, so they could give some feedback, and directors. That's when I brought on Al Marks to do another read, and it was actually his suggestion. He was the one that said, if we're going to do this and we're going to put all this work in, why don't we just record it?
Sounds easy, right? Well, there was more involved, obviously, as Shash pointed out.
The process started off with finding the right actors and making sure that those actors were interested in the project, loved the concept of it, were ready and set up in order to do it, and that they were the right diverse team, which was obviously incredibly important to me. So it was me doing the structural production, the line producing of it. So it was a lot of very early mornings of sending out emails and blocking. So I just blocked together which scenes would work in terms of the actors that we were working with on that day. And so it was nighttime in Australia, and it was very early morning in the United Kingdom, or evening in Australia, early morning in the United Kingdom. And so we sent out those links with the scenes, and then everyone did their own setup at home. And then we shot with our director, Al, who was in Melbourne, directing over and giving everybody a small chance to do a couple of takes, because obviously there's only so much that one can do with everybody in their own homes and remotely done so. When we had all that footage, which was a lot of footage, when we had all of that footage, I broke up the scene sections and the different takes for each actor, and I put those into structured folders on a G drive. And then our editor, Ellen Ann, and our director, Al Marks, took all that footage and then put it together into a base copy. And then I sent it to some wonderful creatives, again, who I had phoned up and asked if they would jump on. So, yes, I was very lucky. And then on post-production, we went across Toronto and New York, as well as London and Sydney and Melbourne. And we put all that together. And then Al and I watched it probably 50 times and tweaked it because we're both perfectionists until we got the final product.
Look, I'm a slow adopter to technology. I love the idea of it, but there's also this idea in creative pursuits, Bales, that technology can create a lack of intimacy. So I was keen to know how Shash and the team worked with their actors to get the right approach, especially when you can't be in the room together to work intuitively.
It starts with the basis of the director. So it started with the basis of Al. And the reason why I asked Al to do this is A, because I trust him completely, and B, because we've worked together before and we work together so well. And his energy is he's got a very relaxed energy and style about his direction. It's very warm and inviting. He's very measured and articulate about what he's looking for. And I knew that that would work really well for a digital platform because it's difficult for all of us to have to work and create across a laptop. But he was a great facilitator in making sure that everybody felt comfortable with that. On my end, I made sure that everything was produced to an absolute specific T because I didn't want anyone not knowing where they were meant to be or what time they were meant to be there. I wanted to make sure that everybody knew which scenes they were doing, who they were working with. Even more, I mean, we have that anyway in our usual workings as creators in television and film. But it was even more important for this because people are nervous as it is anyway coming into a Zoom shoot. And they've had to do their own setup. I spoke to everybody beforehand, either, you know, a Zoom call or a phone call or an advanced email to make sure that everybody felt comfortable. That was the most important thing. Everybody feels comfortable. Made sure that all questions were answered so that everybody knew that what their setup was going to be and who they were going to be working with and how they were going to be working. And just letting everybody know that it was a safe space and that it was actually experimental. We were still experimenting. I was still experimenting.
It was a massive undertaking, no doubt. But could Shash see what the end product was going to be? Or was he happy just to explore what was possible?
I could see the end product of doing it. And I kind of do that with life anyway. I always vision what's going to happen. It doesn't necessarily turn out that way, but I always look towards what's going to happen because I think it's important to help manifest what it is that you want to achieve, but it also helps the other people that you're working with get a real sense of what it is that they're going to be contributing to the project. It's a bit harder at the moment because I'm not living in a world where I can be as social as I would normally like to be. You know, I'm certainly a human being that thrives off of networking and chatting with people and socializing and picking up their energies. But because of bringing a kind of fireball light to when I was communicating with people, I think that everyone kind of got a real gist about what it would look like. But it was still very important, both for myself and for Al and for any other creative joining onto the team, that everybody knew that we were still experimenting. And therefore, as such, if we got to the very end product and it didn't work in the way that we thought it would, well, then we will find another solution for the material that we have. Like, I knew there would be something by the end that we could use. And if I'm honest, because of the hard work of everybody across what we created, and it really was a lot of hard work and dedication, that the end product actually looks, I think it takes, everyone says to me, it takes about 90 seconds and then they forget that they're watching a Zoom shot pilot episode and then they kind of settle into it.
So, did he think it was the future of global collaboration in the arts?
Well, I'm a really global creative. Like, I really love working across the entire spectrum of the world, and I mean, why not? Why the fuck not? Like, it's a hell of a lot cheaper than having to get everybody on set and organizing it. And the reality is that if it's in terms of a pitch product, it does actually allow the creatives to see what it is, the energy and style of your work. The other part of Colourful Cocktail is really about redistribution of financing and looking at how we can take budgets and save on the wastage. The, as a producer, I've seen so much wastage on budgets and still do to this day. You know, instead of pumping $10 million into a test pilot episode, which has been done, let's take that money and use it for better casting and structures on set for disability and people living with disability, and finding like ways in which we can have greater payment for those working on the first stages of our industry who are working 14-hour days and barely still being able to pay their rent. So why not? If it saves money and it still tells the story and it shows the creators what you're pitching, I think it's a positive thing.
This chat really got us thinking, Nick, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Without using that overused phrase, the new normal, this definitely seems to be the way forward for Shash and Colourful Cocktails.
Yeah, so Colourful Cocktails now looking after like a slate of projects, and one of them being a film, a psychological thriller called The Rip, which last time I spoke to you both, we were talking about, which it was in its beginning stages, which has been on its own journey. But some projects really do just go on their own journey. And it really has. Like, it's been a frequency of peaks and troughs. The positioning that we were in was funding with an aspect of distribution domestically in Australia. That obviously is very difficult now with the pandemic, finding distribution. We're still living in a world where cinema is something that seems completely off planet, that we would be able to go and sit into a cinema together and watch. However, there is, off the back of all the other discussions, now interest from streaming. I had to call the team together and we're all now looking at the basis of how we talk to the streamers. That's great. Out of the projects, the Colourful Cocktail represents The Charming Project, which is the feature film, and Erolina, which is the television show, which is the one that we shot the online POC for, is now is out into industry and has interest. We're in that beginning stages of chatting to everyone, and then luckily we've had script requests and people are genuinely interested. But again, we're all negotiating the new world. So The stage that we looked at it initially for The Charming Project, it is now different. And I'm having those active conversations with studios and networks on how this could look now and how we can shoot, how we can distribute, but with a lot of interest and excitement behind it, which is obviously good after a lot of hard work to know that people can see that it's something that's viable. And I'm getting more used to talking to the big wigs. And
it held you in good stead for this conversation, Shash, hasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I bet you're pretty nervous tonight, this morning.
This morning, yes.
So I've found this digital innovation conversation, which I think it is really in the process that you've gone through, super interesting. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it?
It does. It takes a lot of work. But also, it opens up our minds in the way that we can create, and in a way, it connects us. It connected the creatives even more so, and we were all in the same position when we did that. And I think it will last even into the next stages of life, even when we come out of this. And to be honest, when you're in that stage, for everybody, why the fuck not?
Why the fuck not, indeed. So whilst the future of collaboration might still reside in the energy that you create face-to-face sales, it is nice to know there's new ways to get your work seen, produced, and published across the world by harnessing that really quality tech.
And finding more agile ways that you can redistribute finances to important causes like better casting, structures on set for people with disability, and of course, better pay. Seems like a really worthwhile pursuit to me.
Yeah, hear, hear. So, look, a big thanks to Shash for his time and to you, Lauren Bailey, my fellow global creative. This has been The Act of Storytelling.
Thanks, Nick, and thanks for listening.